Well, we praise the Lord for this time together.
Amen.
The Lord has given us a sweetness of flow of life together. We've touched on, first of all, beginning with a matter of life. And we've pointed out that the only and the unique way in the Lord's recovery is the way of life. If we don't have the life, which is the divine life, the eternal life, then whatever we're practicing is empty and void. But we are here enjoying a life flow. We talked about this life in terms of it's the unique way in the Lord's recovery. It's a flowing life. It is a life that is moving. And then it is the life that we experience by being dependent on this rather than independent. And by allowing this to move in us, by rejecting all our natural strength, all our natural abilities, all our natural way of doing things. Then we came to the matter of oneness. And we realized that life is God moving in us, but oneness is the opportunity for that life to move. If you don't have the oneness, that life cannot move. So we have to have the oneness. And the oneness we fellowshipped over is not just a oneness of the universal body of Christ, but it's a oneness expressed in each locality. It's a oneness expressed in practicality. So in actuality, we are one. But practically speaking, we need to be one. That is, we need to guard, to keep the oneness of the Spirit in the uniting bond of peace. And we found some words that were particularly helpful for us there. Then after we saw oneness together with the life flow, we turned our attention to the matter of prayer. Because prayer is the unique means by which God and man are joined for God's move on the earth. God cannot move on the earth without man. And of course, man is empty without God. God needs man, and man needs God. And the uniting point is prayer. Prayer is the means by which God and man are joined together, mingled together. So we saw the prayer of Matthew 6 is a prayer of bringing glory to God and bringing God's will to the earth. The matter of the name being sanctified. The matter of the kingdom coming and the matter of the will of God being accomplished on the earth depends upon the prayer of the saints. So the first message on prayer was focused on the Gospels and Acts. So we were seeing from the Gospels and the book of Acts, how God is moving with man and man is moving with God. So the messages are titled Prayer and God's Move. Prayer and God's Move. Now this morning we'll focus on prayer and God's move as expressed in the epistles and Revelation. And your outline that you have with you, prayer and God's move in the epistles and Revelation, begins with this statement in Paul's first prayer in Ephesians, which is a prayer for revelation. He prays that we would have a spirit of wisdom and revelation, with the eyes of our heart being enlightened to know the hope of God's calling, the riches of the glory of God's inheritance in the saints, and the surpassing greatness of God's power toward us who believe. This prayer is really an incredible utterance. In fact, the whole book of Ephesians opens up something that is really difficult to understand how Paul could have seen it, how Paul could have entered into this. But when he entered in to something universally great. He entered into a joining with God that changed not only his life, but changed the life of every person who came in touch with this ministry. And it still is doing the same today. We come into touch with this, we get transformed. We get changed. This ministry is not simply a kind of opening up of divine revelation. This ministry is a dispensing of that revelation. And the prayer of the apostle here was, first of all, to open the view, to see, a prayer for revelation, a prayer to understand, to realize what it is God is doing in the earth today. Saints, we have to stop ourselves again from knowing what is here and open up to see what is here. When I was a young man, I read this portion, and I remember specifically praying, "Lord, I don't know these things. What is the hope of your calling? What is the surpassing greatness of your power toward us believe? What are the riches of your glory in the saints? I don't know. This was a mystery to me." And I had a very, very specific recollection of that kind of just prayer to the Lord. "I don't see these things. I need somebody to teach me." And it was within a year that I met Brother Lee, and these things began to be opened up. The apostle here wrote such a word to begin with, a word where he says, he opens up this praise to the Father. "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenlies, in Christ. Then he chose us before the foundation of the world, and he predestinated us to be sons of God." I mean, it's a tremendous view. But after he says all of these things and points out how Christ has redeemed us, and then points out how the Spirit has come to seal us and to give us the down payment of our inheritance, then he says, "I'm praying for you that you'd be able to see this. I've just written it, but I realize you can't see it without revelation. You have to see something. You have to open your being up. You have to pray." You know, day by day, we need to pray. We need to pray again and again, "Lord, open the eyes of my understanding. Open the eyes of my heart." Why? Because this defines who we are and how we will live. What he opens up to us in this portion is that we are a very particular people on this earth. We are God-men. We are those who have been joined to God, mingled with God. In 1 Corinthians chapter 2, Paul said, "What I'm sharing with you, the wisdom that I have, is something the eyes have never seen, ears have never heard, and it's never even risen up in the heart of man, the things that God has prepared for those who love him. But these are revealed to us in the Word." So here, and by the Spirit, and here, Paul prays for revelation. Revelation means an unveiling. It means this: we see it. We see what God is doing. And the revelation here is the threefold revelation. It begins with A, the hope of God's calling is Christ in you, the hope of glory. Christ realized by us, experienced by us, and gained by us to the fullest extent to be our ultimate manifestation and consummation as our glory and the hope of our calling. Well, wonderful words. It takes time to consider and let these words sink in. To consider Christ in you. And the joining, the mingling of God with man. that Christ's intention is, God's intention is to reproduce himself in us. That we, on this earth, will be the continuation of Christ. That we will be God manifest in the flesh. That this is who we are. Actually, this is what he has accomplished already. We are God-men. We are the new creation. I challenge you, don't just take this as a kind of word. Are you a new creation?
Amen.
Are you?
Amen.
We have to see this. We have to enjoy this fact. Touch this fact day by day. We are not the old thing. We are the new creation. We are God manifested in the flesh. This is the hope of his calling. It is Christ in you. It is Christ living through you. It is Christ dispensing into you and coming out from you. Then in B it tells us that the riches of the glory of God's inheritance in the saints speaks of God sealing us with himself to make us his inheritance for his enjoyment. And God's pledging himself to us to make him our inheritance for our enjoyment. We have to see we are very special. We really have to see this. We're not common people. We are a very special people. God has committed himself to human beings, to redeem, to regenerate, and to fill until those human beings are just God himself. God's inheritance is himself in us, coming back to him. And our inheritance is God in us, living out through us. There is a mutuality of God and man. Saints, we have to see this. We have to pray for this until this becomes not only a motivating factor, but an energizing factor in our living. Because we have to confess many times we're still living in that old thing, as that old thing. We don't see who we are. We don't realize. We are God manifest in the flesh. Don't think this is too much. Don't think this is a kind of euphemistic way to say we're a new creation. No, this is a fact. And we struggle to express it because it doesn't fit human culture. But we are not a part of human culture. We are a part of the new culture. God mingled with man. We are the new creation coming fully into being. Amen. Until God and man are thoroughly mingled, and until God is fully expressed in man, until God has his inheritance. Okay, what's it mean? It means I should never depreciate what is in me. I should never consider, oh, I'm poor, I'm pitiful. I'm not poor and pitiful. I'm full of God. Okay, the old creation is poor and pitiful, no question. And when I'm in the old creation, I'm poor and pitiful. But that's not who I am. That's a temporary problem. But who I am is God mingled with man. Amen. To see the glory, the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints. It also means that I should never depreciate or disapprove of or malign or in any way feel that the fellow members of the body don't matter. I should have a deep appreciation not only for what God is in me, but what God is in you. And I should never have a kind of attitude toward others, because That is God's inheritance. I should never feel, that sister or that brother. Ay, ay, ay. No, there should be, thank you, Lord. Thank you for my dear brother, my dear sister. And I mentioned to the sisters, sometimes when you pray that way, the enemy says to you, you're phony. That's not what you feel. And you have to respond, no, you're the phony. You're the liar. And this is my brother, or this is my sister, and I love her, or I love him. What I feel doesn't matter. The Christ in me is operating. The love of God is in me. And I love my brother. I love my sister. Stand on that. Because that's who you are. And that's who that brother and sister is. We are a very particular people. Riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints. And then what is the surpassing, the surpassing greatness of God's power, his resurrecting power, his ascending or transcending power, his subjecting or subduing power, and his heading up or overruling power. It's operating in us. It's toward us who believe. It is to the church. To experience the divine transmission of this power, we need to realize that this power is in us already. Hallelujah. I mean, really, saints, you have to just have such an appreciation of what is real. What is real in the universe? Nothing is real other than Christ, the expression of God, the incarnation of God, now as the Spirit coming into us. Nothing else is real. Nothing else matters. Everything else is either a lie or a reflection of the reality. Everything sums up in the Lord Jesus Christ, God manifest in the flesh. And now that we are here experiencing this, what is the power in him? It's the power that raised him from the dead. It's the power that put him above all things. It's the power that gave him a name above every name. It's a power that put everything under his feet. And that power is operating in us. This is Ephesians 3:20. That power is there. It's moving. It's operating. It is in us. It's not a matter of it will be in us. It's not a matter of I hope it will be. It is. That power is to the church. That power is now operating. If we see these things, then we have a base for our prayer. If we don't see it, then our prayer becomes many times a kind of begging or a kind of hoping. But not a kind of moving, not a kind of binding, not a kind of loosing. We need a prayer that binds. We need a prayer that looses. Because what God is waiting for, as we saw last night, is through man, he will conquer the earth. Through man, he will set up his kingdom. Through man, he will bring his will. This is what his desire is, and this is the means by which he will do it, and that is through man. And we are here, the men he has chosen, the church, his body. We sing of that. We sang of that this morning. We are that people. We are the church. We are the body. We are God moving on the earth. But the means for that to be realized, the means for that to be worked out, as we'll see later this morning, is prayer. We need prayer, but we need prayer based on revelation to see who we are and what we are doing here on the earth. Okay, and then in Roman numeral 2, points out that in Paul's second prayer in Ephesians, there's a prayer of experience. Okay, the prayer of revelation is chapter 1. Prayer of experience is chapter 3. A prayer for experience. He prays that we would be strengthened into our inner man for God's unique work to build himself into our being. A says that in Ephesians 3, our spirit is a person, the inner man, for us to experience Christ for the church. In order to experience Christ under the fullness of God, we need to be strengthened with the fourfold power we've just talked about of the triune God into our spirit through the Holy Spirit. Okay, the power is in us, but we need to be strengthened into our spirit. We eventually can know the knowledge surpassing love of Christ. If you go on in these verses, this is in Ephesians chapter 3, 16 through 19, or all the way to 21. You see the knowledge surpassing love in 19, yeah. Then we begin to have a realization of the love which is enfolding us, the love which is moving in us. You know, sometimes we have a question in our heart. The situation I'm going through, is God's heart really for me? But we need to have such an experiential knowledge. We need to know the knowledge surpassing love. We need to know the love that really lays hold of us, the love that is upon us, the love that is for us, the love that never turns, love that never changes. We fail, the love is still there. We succeed, the love is still there. Whatever we do, the love is still there. The situations come and the situations go. The love does not change. It's a knowledge surpassing love. It's a love beyond our capacity to understand. It's a super abounding love. It goes beyond understanding. That love never changes. That love is fully encompassing us all the time, lifting us up, holding us. When we feel like we're being held, it is holding us. When we feel like we're not being held, it is holding us. That love never changes. And we need the experiential touch with the Lord that causes that to become so real to us. So we pray for this. In our experience, we need to be strengthened into the inner man. Then goes on here, that we may be filled unto all the fullness of God. Then the fullness of God is the issue of our enjoyment of the unsearchably rich Christ as the embodiment of God dispensed into our being. So if we want to know this, we need to experience the Lord, enjoy the Lord. Okay, sisters in particular, we stop here for a moment and remind you, we've said again and again during this time, spend time with the Lord. And we'll touch on it before we end this message again. Spend time with the Lord. Don't think that because you've been in the meetings, because you've been to the trainings, because you've been, that you got it. In one degree, you have it. That is, there's an infusion into your realization of everything that God is to you. But on the other side, it needs to be experienced. And it needs to be experienced day by day. It's not just one time. It's not just, oh, I remember when. It is right now. It is today. I need to know him. Touch him. Today. Not something of the past, neither something of the future, but right now. We had in the I think in the 70s we had some stickers for the window, the car. It said, "Christ is now." Yeah, that was it. Christ is now. We need that sticker in our mind. Christ is now. It's not the past. It's not the future. It's now. Okay? So when we're enjoying Him, we're being brought into this knowledge-surpassing love of God in experience. Then it continues, through His indwelling, Christ imparts the riches of all that God is into our being to make us the fullness of God, the corporate expression of God. This is God's goal, to make us those who fully express God. Okay, just allow it to sink in a little bit. He wants us to be, He wants a people on this earth who just express Him. And we become the fullness. We become the reality of God in the flesh. C tells us that we are being strengthened into our inner man according to the riches of God's glory. And then unto Him is the glory in the church. First, the glory of God is wrought into us, and then it returns to God for His glorification. So God is manifested in us and to us and through us. Okay, He's manifested first the glory of God. The glory of God is God expressed. He's manifested to us. I see Him. I touch Him. I enjoy Him. I'm really fully just saturated with this wonderful person. Then what happens? He just comes out. And every morning we should have this experience, saturated to the point that we can receive Him today. Tomorrow we can receive more. But we need to be saturated to that point. We need to come, stop everything. Spend time with Him. Let His glory be infused into us. It's the riches of His glory. That is His manifestation. He gets into us. I know Him. I touch Him. He's real to me. I'm not just talking about I have a hope in Him that one day. It's right now He's here. Right now I'm touching Him. Okay, this is a matter of faith. Doesn't mean I'm getting big feelings. But it means I realize right now the Lord is here. And I touch it by His speaking. He speaks to me in the Word. He speaks to me in the singing. He speaks to me in the situation. I'm here enjoying God. Every morning, this should be my experience. And I can testify, this is my experience. He's speaking with me day by day. It's not a kind of a great light coming down. But you know what? It is a great light. I really marvel. Just day by day, He just shows something. It's a grace given to us. And it's our portion. We should expect this. It's our inheritance. We should come to Him in this kind of a way. We don't have anything. When we come to Him, we have nothing. We're not coming to Him to tell Him what we need. We're not coming to Him to tell Him what to do. We're coming to Him to let Him be manifested. The riches of His glory strengthens us into the inner man. The enemy is fighting us all the way. And the only way we can overcome is Christ in us. It's this wonderful person taking Him in. Okay. Roman numeral 3. Ephesians 6:18 says, by means of all prayer and petition, praying at every time in spirit, and watching unto this in all perseverance and petition concerning all the saints. Would sisters read A, brothers B, sisters D, C, and Brothers D. Okay, to have the church life depends on our continual prayer. Okay, brothers.
All prayer means all kinds of prayers. Short prayers, long prayers, loud prayers, silent prayers, public prayers by a number of saints, private prayers by ourselves, etc.
And insist to the uttermost.
This indicates that there is something
holding us down, holding us back, suppressing, oppressing, depressing, and hindering us from prayer. So we have to persevere and not give up. So the fellowship here is based on revelation and based on experience. Now what shall we do? Pray. Okay? We just need to pray. The church life depends on our prayer. The prayer has to be maintained. That is, we have to be on the alert to hold on to our prayer. We're under a definite and strong pressure not to pray. That pressure is on us all the time. It comes in with every kind of distraction. So we need to be exercised to pray. Pray regardless of the situation. Pray all kinds of prayer. Pray prayers. Pray. Just pray. You know? It's that kind of thing that he's saying here. It's just a matter by means of all prayer and petition. This is a warfare. It's a battle. I don't know your experience, but I would be pretty sure that your experience matches mine. And that is that I don't pray as I ought to pray. So the first one that's getting this message is me. Because I realize it's a battle for me to pray. And my wife could testify, I have for years shared with her again and again, I need help in my prayer life. I need prayer for my prayer. It's a battle. It's a warfare. So we should not think, I can't make it. No, we have to make it. But the means by which we make it is realize, okay, who we are. Who we are. Revelation. And experience. Time with the Lord. Opening to Him. Now we pray. And I like the last word, not give up. I think it was Churchill one time was invited to come and speak at his alma mater of a prep school. And the great Churchill, the unique one, came to speak there. And everybody was really attentive, pencils ready. Then he stood up and he said, I can't remember the exact thing, but something like this: in every circumstance and every situation, never give up. Never give up. Never, ever give up. And then he sat down. That was his speech. Never give up. In our prayer, we should never give up. We should never feel, oh, the Lord is just not going to answer this one. We should never feel, if, this is the if part, if we are joined to Him, if we see who we are, if we are experientially one with Him in that moment, every prayer will be answered. Every prayer. no exception. The promise of the Lord is very clear. Pray, believe, receive. This is a definite promise. And we should stand on that. Never give up. Persevere. Okay, then we go to Roman numeral 4. In Colossians 1, 9 through 11, we see the intercessory prayer of the Apostle Paul. Paul prayed that the saints would be filled with the full knowledge of his will in all spiritual wisdom and understanding. Okay, basically, this is what we've already touched on. Paul prayed for us to see. Here, Paul prayed, be filled with just this realization, God's will. That there would be that spiritual wisdom and understanding imparted into us. He prayed for that. We should pray for that. Then 5. In Colossians 4:2, we are told to persevere in prayer, watching in it with thanksgiving. To persevere is to continue persistently, steadfastly, and earnestly. We need to persevere in prayer because prayer involves a battle, a fight. Two parties, God and Satan, are hostile to each other. The third party consists of God's chosen and redeemed people. God's chosen and redeemed people will actually decide the outcome of the battle between God and Satan. Huh? God's chosen and redeemed people will actually decide the outcome of the battle between God and Satan. Hymns 880 here is Amy Barber that wrote, it's to the foe, my word is always no. To the Father, it is yes. In every situation, when we are under pressure, under difficulty, our answer to the enemy is no. But if that situation is under the sovereign hand of the Lord, our answer to the Father is yes. We wouldn't resist anything from the Father, but we resist everything from the enemy. We need wisdom to know when to say yes and when to say no. But in many situations, it's very clear. You have an inward registration. You have a clearness. This is the enemy? No. Then you may pray of situation, and you may have the experience of the Apostle Paul, who said, the Lord said to him, when he prayed 3 times for the removal of a thorn, the Lord said, my grace is sufficient. So Paul said yes to the Father. He turned right away, and he said, I'll be glad to rejoice in this situation, because when I'm weak, then I'm strong. Indicating we need to have such a confidence in the Father's hand. His grace is sufficient. We're not here feeling like we're going to collapse under this. No, his grace is sufficient. We stand on that. And to the degree this is arranged by the Father, to the degree he makes it clear to us, we say clearly, amen. Amen, yes. But when the enemy is putting thoughts, situations into our mind, a sister shared last night, I appreciate it very much. She said, I said to the enemy, I do not give you permission to use my mind. That's a good prayer. Yeah. Satan, I don't give you the permission. I don't agree with you to think these thoughts. These are not my thoughts, and I refuse your thoughts. This is a standing on the reality. To the Father, it's yes. To the enemy, it is no. We are in this battle to the end. The pressure will never decrease. It is here. It is pushing. It's pushing by outward circumstances. It's pushing by inward pressures. What we feel, what we think. We need to be those who are wise opening our being to the Father and closing our being to the enemy. C says that in order to fight on God's side against Satan, we need to persevere in prayer. This perseverance is needed because the course of the whole world is away from God. This is really the case, right? But what does the Lord, the word say? Consider him who endured such contradiction. In Hebrews chapter 12. Consider him. He is the overcomer. Where is he? He's in me. Consider him. He has the capacity. I do not. I don't rely on my own effort. I don't rely on my own strength. But I stand one with him. And I rely on him. This is a persevering in prayer. It is not an effort by our will. That will exhaust us. We can never stand by the effort of our will. But we stand by the inner anointing of the Spirit. So the prayer goes back. We pray to be strengthened into the inner man. We pray the Lord would settle us, ground us, root us, so that we do not stand here by our effort. And we do not depend upon how much we can take. How much can we take? We can take whatever Christ can take. Is that real? We can. But we need to have such a definite contact with him that he really is the strength. And he really is strengthening us into the inner man. D says, before we try to persevere in prayer, we should first make a vow to the Lord concerning our prayer life. This has always been a little bit of a troubling thing to me. I've many times considered, make a vow to the Lord concerning my prayer life. And it's a little troubling because I have a feeling like I can't promise the Lord to do something. But a vow is not a promise. A vow here is a commitment to the Lord. It's not a promise. It's a commitment to say, Lord, I give myself to you to pray. But you know I can't do it. I need you to do it in me. But we need to take that kind of a stand, and that's Brother Lee's point here. We stand on this fact. We are here for this prayer life to be fully established and carried out. We may fail again and again, but we don't give up, and we stand on our confidence in the inner strengthening of Christ, the Spirit within us. Strengthen us into the inner man. Pray again and again. Don't give up. Don't lose confidence. Stand on the fact. He is in you. The power is in you. It's already in us. Yes, we need more experience, but it is in us. And we need to turn every day, every moment, to this. Okay, we make a vow. Lord, I commit myself to pray daily. But Lord, I need you to work it out. I need you to make it real in me. Okay, then E. After we make such a deal with the Lord concerning our prayer, we should set aside definite times for prayer. Never, never, ever feel like I'll pray when I get around to it. You will never get around to it. This is not possible. So you have to set time. Okay, when you set times, you may fail. Don't worry about it. Just keep the next time. Just don't spend your time feeling bad because of what you don't do. That just debilitates you. Okay, you didn't do it. Lord, forgive me. Cleanse me. Operate in me. I'm one with you. We just keep going. The blood of Jesus takes care of every failure. He promises that. Saints, we are not here on our own. We're not here trying to be good Christians. We are here joined to the living God. And we live by that life. Yes, we still have a lot of the old things that are holding us down. But we are persevering. 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 Day by day. We have the expectation and the hope. Christ will be magnified in us. Christ will be lifted up in us. So this is our stand. Set aside definite time for prayer. During these times, prayer must be the top priority. Our attitude should be that prayer is our most important business. You have that? Prayer is my most important business. Nothing should be allowed to interfere with it. Daniel 6:10 is, of course, an inspiration to us always, where the decree comes out from the king that anyone, for a month, anyone who bows to anything other than the king himself will be put into the lion's den. And when Daniel knew that it was written, he went home, and just like always, his doors were open, windows were open to Jerusalem, and he knelt down and prayed 3 times a day. That was his habit. He didn't change a thing. Then, he had some enemies that were very active, and they came and told the king, he's doing it. He's disrespectful of you. Put him in the lion's den. And the king, it says, he really felt bad. He was really sorrowful. And he tried his best from that time until the evening to find a way to deliver Daniel. And then they came back and they said, well, king, you know, it's decreed. It's in the law. And you know the law of the Medes and the Persians. You got to do it. So he called Daniel. He took him and said, well, Daniel, your God is able. But it was kind of a leap of faith for him. So all night he was there. Daniel was in the lion's den. All night the king was there. Fasting, and sleep wouldn't come to him. And early in the morning, he went and he called out in a sorrowful voice, Daniel, are you still there? Daniel says, blessed be God, something like this. The Lord shut the mouths of the lions. And he was brought out. Okay, the point is here, that's the point. That's the verse with this point. Prayer is a top priority. Never stop praying. It's your most important business. F says that for a normal Christian walk, we need to set our mind on the things above. Have the renewing of the new man. Have the peace of Christ arbitrating in us. And allow the word of Christ to inhabit us. Prayer ushers us into the reality of these 4 things and keeps us in this reality. Okay, this is Colossians chapter 3. Colossians chapter 4 is the verse we're on here concerning the matter of persevering prayer. But here it refers back to chapter 3. Set your mind on the things above. And then let the peace of Christ arbitrate in your heart. Be in the renewing of the new man. And let the word of Christ dwell in you richly. These things will be a real encouragement to your prayer. And your prayer will make these things real. These two go together. It's really worthwhile to take some time to read through, pray over Colossians 3 and the first part of Colossians 4 to see this kind of a living that the apostle is talking about. If you are raised with Christ from the dead, then set your mind on the things above, where Christ is. Okay, and then it goes on to talk about the renewing. Okay, Roman numeral 6. Let's read together. Okay, here it's talking about a prayer ministry. Prayer ministry indicates that this is the effectiveness of the church and of the individual who really sets himself to pray. It's a prayer ministry. And then you go on through these points. For a proper administration, God needs the prayer of the saints. So A says, after speaking of God's economy, and after charging Timothy to war the good warfare for God's economy, Paul indicates that a prayer ministry is a prerequisite for the administration and shepherding of a local church. Then for a proper church life, B, a prerequisite for having a proper church life in the Lord's recovery today is to have a prayer life. A proper church is a praying church. This should be our experience in terms of day by day, the twos and the threes, the prayer groups, the fellowship together in prayer. And it's true of the prayer meeting of the church. We always make comment concerning this, that the prayer meeting of the church is the weakest point in the church life. We again and again feel this is a very, very weak aspect of the church life. Doesn't mean it's not effective. It's certainly effective to the degree it's operating. But we need the saints to really support the prayer meeting, to be a part of the prayer meeting, to pray for the prayer meeting, to really pray that the prayer meeting would become strong. It is the most important point in the church life. To have a good church life, we need the prayer life. Okay? C, all in the Lord's recovery must be prayerful and stand against the sin of prayerlessness. Okay? We've talked about that we are God's treasure, God's possession. And Samuel had the feeling that it would be a sin for him not to pray for God's people. We should have this same feeling. It's a sin for us not to pray for the church, for the saints, for the Lord's purpose to be fully realized. D, if we exercise ourselves to have a prayer life, the church will be living and uplifted. E, we should pray on behalf of all men, because our Savior God desires all men to be saved and come to the full knowledge of the truth. Our prayer, listen, our prayer is required for the carrying out of God's desire. God wants people to be saved, but if we're not praying for people to be saved, specifically our neighbors, our family, if we're not praying for people to be saved, according to this, they won't be saved. Somebody has to pray. The Lord may raise up somebody else. I don't know how all that works with God's sovereignty. But it very specifically here is prayer is a key for the church life to go on. And prayer is the key for people to be saved and to grow up into Christ. It's the key. So we should pray. Pray for our classmates. Pray for our boss. Pray for our workmates. Pray. Even pray for the person in the line in front of you. Pray. To carry out God's desire, prayer is required. Roman numeral 7. In Revelation 8, 3-5, we see the incense altar is the center of God's administration, and the prayer offered at the incense altar governs the universe, governs the universe. As another angel, Christ executes God's administration over the earth at the incense altar by ministering to God as the high priest with the prayers of his saints, adding his incense to these prayers. God's administration needs our prayers, which are a response to Christ's heavenly ministry. As we pray, he administrates, and as he administrates, we pray. Lord, we thank you that you have called us out of the darkness of this age into your marvelous light. And we thank you that we have become participants, fellow workers with you in your economy. We thank you, Lord, for the ministry of prayer. We ask you to strengthen us into the inner man, Lord, that we may pray as we ought to pray. We pray for the prayer ministry of the church. Oh, Lord, carry us forward for your own name's sake, for the carrying out of your purpose in this earth. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Amen.